last week's temperatures were harsh. If you ventured outside at all, you experienced it. Temperatures capable of producing frostbite within minutes. While all that might not seem very positive, there could be one good thing coming out of it. While we pile on more layers or stick to indoor activities, some of our invasive and pesky bug species might not be able to handle it. Just how do insects endure that cold? Jamie Hubbard is an associate professor of biology at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Her research interests are in insect biology, including life history and ecology. Jamie, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, I assume there are different answers to the question of how insects deal with cold, depending on the insect. Let's start with one that I've been seeing some reporting on, this emerald ash borer, big problem in Wisconsin, destroying a lot of trees in the state. People are saying, hey, maybe this could put a dent in their numbers?
Well, I think maybe with the polar vortex numbers that we had over the last week, might put a little bit of a dent into their population, but I don't think it's going to completely get rid of our emerald ash borer problem.
Right. Talk about how the emerald ash borer reacts to cold, how it affects its life cycle.
Well, there's a variety of factors that mechanisms that insects use to be able to deal with winter temperatures. Obviously, where they live, where it's cold, they have to be able to deal with that every year. And sometimes we do get some cold snaps like this last one that's extremely, extremely cold. But one of the things that they have going for them is that they are inside of trees, and in the winter they're overwintering as either late-stage larvae or the pre-pupa, which is right before their pupal stage where they're kind of they become inactive and they're going to become adults. And so they're actually in the tree in like the cambium layer and the sapwood layer. So just being inside the tree gives them some an insulative layer, some protection from the outside air temperature. Then also the sunlight on those cold days where we don't have a lot of moisture in the air, it's pretty sunny sometimes. So the sunlight hitting the trees can warm those trees up and kind of bring the temperature inside the trees up a little bit more than the outside air. So even though it feels really cold to us, it may not be all that cold, you know, to that low of a temperature inside the trees. And then snow, if we have snow cover, that can kind of reflect onto the tree and warm the trees up too. But aside from being insulated, they also have some other mechanisms they use inside their bodies to help protect them. For one, they can do something called supercooling. And a lot of the insects that we have here in Wisconsin that have to survive over the winter do this. And what this is that they have the ability to bring their freezing temperature inside of their cells down below what is typically freezing, so they can operate at a lower temperature, and they do this by kind of extracting some of the water inside of their cells that goes out of their cells, and what's left in their cells are a lot of sugars and proteins, things that we think of as antifreezes. So it basically keeps them thawed out inside their cells while when it's really cold and freezing outside in the outside environment. They can also, and so they will actually super cool, and there's a term called the super cooling point, and that's the point at which insects can cool down their bodies and still maintain, you know, be operational, maybe not moving around too much, before they can die. And so they reach this point where they will actually die due to freezing. And so for emerald ash borer, that super cooling point has been found to be somewhere between 0 degrees Fahrenheit and negative 30 degrees Fahrenheit. So at 0 degrees Fahrenheit, we don't get very many emerald ash borer dying, about 5% of the population. But as that temperature goes down, so to 10%, we may see about 34% of the population die. At negative 20 degrees, we might see 79% of the population die, and at negative 30 degrees Fahrenheit, we might see 98% of the population die. That still leaves 2% of the population out there. But I would say, like it's in Stevens Point, it got to around negative 27 degrees, so we're still going to see some populations surviving in that. But there's lots of variation in the population, so some will survive better than others at those temperatures. Again, because they're insulated and they have all these other things that are going to help protect them, these lower air temperatures may not really be a huge significant factor for killing them.
Talking to Jamie Hubbard from UW-Stevens Point, entomologists there looking at how last week's polar vortex cold weather affects insects around the state and how insects deal with cold weather in general. Okay, so I guess pretty qualified good news on emerald ash borer. It probably killed many of them, but not where the problem hasn't gone away. Let's talk about some other insect issues. We've talked to you before about mosquitoes, and we sometimes hear in the summer, oh, we had a mild winter, so the mosquitoes are going nuts this year. Does a hard cold like this have any kind of impact at all on the mosquito population?
Well, maybe a little bit. But again, very similar to emerald ash borer, they are going to have this really low supercooling temperature. So first of all, again, they're insulated in a variety of ways. So some mosquitoes are going to survive as larvae, and they are in the water, so the water will be covered by ice, and that actually does a very good job of insulating from the outside temperature, so the water temperature is going to be much warmer. And some of them will overwinter as eggs, maybe on the ground, covered by snow, and snow is a good insulator, maybe in leaf litter, and the ground temperature is actually going to be quite a bit warmer than the air temperature, and so as adults, they may be found in leaf litter, too, under the snow. So as long as there's good snow cover and ice coverage before those temperatures go really far down, then they are pretty well protected from the air temperatures, but they actually can tolerate some even lower temperatures than the emerald ash borer. So even down as low as negative 30 degrees Fahrenheit. Ticks, similarly, they are going to be, insulated in the leaf litter and by snow coverage. So as long as there's snow coverage before those temperatures really drop significantly, then they're also going to be insulated, and they also can kind of super cool down to a certain point.
Let's get to an insect that we want to survive through the winter. Bees, how do they survive, and how do they deal with more extreme levels of cold?
Well, in natural environments, they will find cavities of various kinds to survive in. So, for example, I was out with one of my classes in the winter, and there was lots of snow cover, and we dug out some snow and dug a log out from under the snow and turned it over, and there was actually a hibernating queen bumblebee under the log, and so it was all curled up in a little cell in the soil under the log. So they will also, they'll find some kind of structure that can give them some insulation, or they may go into structures as well.
And how about you mentioned it, that was in nature, does the cold weather make it harder for beekeepers to keep their hives going?
I don't know a whole lot about the survivalship of bees in, for beekeepers, but I imagine, of course, the less insulated their boxes and supers are, the more difficult it's going to be for them to be able to survive the super cold temperatures.
Now, do you watch for changing proportions of insect populations with climate change? And is this something that could maybe be slowed down by peaks of cold weather like this?
Yeah, definitely. So, of course, as our winter temperatures, so we have a tendency to see shorter winters now compared to, 50 years ago. Maybe not quite as the cold temperatures, not quite for the super long duration. So what we see is some insects that used to live more in the south are starting to kind of creep their way up into the Wisconsin area. So they may not be as cold adapted as the insects that are native to Wisconsin. And so those are ones that we might see being really pushed back by these super cold temperatures, when we get these super cold temperatures on occasion.
What kind of insects do you watch for moving north from the south?
Of course, I'm looking for mosquitoes. That's one of the things I'm very interested in. So there are a few mosquitoes coming up from the south. One of them is the Asian tiger mosquito, and it has been reported in southern Wisconsin to some extent. And it's mostly, I don't think it's very cold adapted. I don't know for sure, but The fact that it is just now reaching this more northern climate tells us something about climate change and about the migration of this insect, but then also these kinds of temperatures are probably going to have a little bit of impact on them, but they, as our winters just keep getting more mild and shorter, we are going to see that mosquito probably move its way up north.
Is there a worry that having extra new different kinds of mosquitoes could lead to them carrying extra new different kinds of diseases with them?
Most definitely. Yeah, they carry some diseases have the ability to carry diseases that we don't have around here. So a few of the viruses that we see more southerly located, we could find up here.
Jamie, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
That's Jamie Hubbard, Associate Professor of Biology at UW-Stevens Point. Her research interests are in insect biology, including life history and ecology. She joined us today to talk about how polar vortex temperatures affected insect populations. For the most part, at least for the Wisconsin insects, not that much.